Hi guys, and welcome back to another episode of Candid, where we have real talk with real people. I'm your host Shanae, and today I'm here with Selena. So it's a new year, so happy new year.
Happy new year.
How do you feel being in 2023, Selena?
Honestly, I didn't even think we were going to be here past 2012. So every year is a surprise to me. But I'm thankful for this opportunity. I'm thankful for new year. And I'm just hoping that things, you know, become bigger and better for us.
Selena, what do you mean you didn't think we was going to live past 2012?
As a child, I am telling you, when I saw, you know, in 2012, the movie came out. So I honestly thought, you know, the world's going to end now, you know.
They even have a song, the Jackie song. They say in 2012, the world's going to end.
See? Same.
Well, for me, I didn't think it's amazing to see that we are in 2023. Like, I remember when I was like 10 years old in grade 6, graduating. When I was graduating, sixth grade, and I wouldn't think like life would get this far this quick, if that makes sense. I don't know if that makes sense, but it's just like, I'm really an adult now. Like, I really out here adult, and like, yeah, I'm a little bit. And to be like in 2023 and actually working towards things that adults work. Words, it's like, oh my goodness, like, wow.
Yeah.
It's like, wow, I can't believe this. It's like, it's almost like surreal, you know. But I hope everyone had a good new year. If not, if you had a terrible 2022, and I won't say terrible, but if you had a trying 2022, as I know many of us may have had, hopefully this year brings you lots of laughter, lots of joy, and lots of accomplishments. So I wish all of you the best in this new year. So the first thing I want to talk about today is Junkanoo. And then you watch Junkanoo? Are you good?
I did. Somewhat.
Okay. Somewhat. Okay. Which channel did you watch it on?
I watched it on the YouTube broadcast.
Okay, so you wouldn't have seen what we are going to talk about today. So apparently, the Broadcasting Corporation of the Bahamas is considering taking legal action against Cable Bahamas and Alive for what they call, or what they believe, is a deliberate attack on them. So apparently, ZNF was invited by the Ministry of Youth, Sports, and Culture to broadcast Junkanoo, right? Live on their channel. And apparently, their broadcast was cut off at 6 p.m. I think they said 6 p.m. Yeah, 6 p.m. And like it was this like screen that basically redirected them to another channel. And they said it was like that for over an hour. And basically the president of BCB, well, executive chairman, sorry, Paisel Forbes, said that it is an anti-competitive approach that has negatively impacted the satisfaction of our contractual obligations with advertisers and sponsors. Our broadcast was blocked, like I said, at 6 p.m. and was blocked for more than an hour. And he said that there had been previous discussions regarding a joint broadcast, but Cable Bahamas decided to pull out of that deal or suggestion. And since then, they didn't have any other conversations regarding, like, if they would do it together, if they would do it separately. So they said them being cut out of it completely after they were already there, like, recording, they were like, they took that as a surprise, and they were upset about that because it basically put them in a tight spot because they had people who paid for advertising spots during that time and stuff like that.
In all honesty, I do believe it's a tricky situation to be in where your supply is also your competitor. Mm-hmm. However, there are legislations in place to try to regulate these situations, and I do believe that if they do believe that it's deliberate, that they should take legal actions, because at the end of the day, like they said, persons pay for ads to be done, shown within that certain time, and if you have it where so that they deliberately sabotage, you know, their airing, they shouldn't be obligated to pay those persons back out of their own pockets because it wasn't their fault. And so I do think that legal matters should be taken against them if they do believe that it was deliberate, and if they do be found guilty, that they should, you know, compensate for that.
Exactly. And I think we have ERCO, which, like, I don't know if you guys know, but it's the Utility Regulation and Competition Authority, and it's an independent regulatory body that manages the electronic communication sector and the electricity sector. And I most believe that, yeah, broadcast does fall into this. Now, I haven't seen like any like statements from them or maybe like any correspondence between them, but I'm pretty sure I remember reading like we have regulations, we have a communications act and stuff. I don't know if they specifically, I can't remember, they specifically speak to something like this, but I do feel like if it was deliberate, which I'm pretty sure it was, because the fact that they had a message on the screen with a live, I think it was a live logo, because they had a picture, I saw a picture of it, and telling you to go to a different channel, knowing that ZNS was out there recording live so that it could be broadcast to television, which you're not allowing that broadcast to be seen by viewers, you're really like redirecting to another channel. That's really not fair in my opinion, especially when both organizations, both companies were invited to broadcast the Jungle Parade. Now, it could have very well just been a miscommunication between maybe the ministry, ZNS, and then Cable Bahamas. So maybe Cable Bahamas and the ministry had some type of conversation and didn't include ZNS. Maybe it was on purpose. I don't, maybe it wasn't. I don't know. But I think that is very unfair, and that they should be compensated so that they could pay those individuals back for their time slots. Because of course, if I pay for an ad to run at 7 o'clock on that day and I don't see it run, I'm gonna be inquiring like what was going on, why was my ad run? What are you guys gonna be doing? I'm gonna either need a refund or I'm gonna need you to air this on another day, which will then cut into their pocket. So, and I believe that's what I think the general manager of ZNS said, that someone will have to pay for this action and that they are seeking, legal counsel. So I think that is un it's unfair, and that something needs to be done with it, and we shouldn't see things like this happening. I would love to hear more on maybe what is the explanation for it. So I'm hoping to see a follow-up story or some further conversation about that. So, with that being said, we're obviously in 2023. We're coming off the back of the COVID-19 pandemic. Life's looking up, people are basically getting a sense of normalcy back, like completely in terms of jobs and stuff like that. And one of the things that has seemed to be on the uprise is tourism. So, the Bahamas peak winter tourism season are 10 to 15% ahead of 2022 numbers. So, Robert Sands, the Bahamas Hotel and Tourism Association president, said that all the indicators for 2023 point to the industry surpassing its pre-COVID record year, which was 2019. However, I don't know if you guys have been paying attention, but there has been a rise in COVID cases, especially in China. And officials are informing us that there will not be a repeat of the pandemic, but it's kind of hard to believe that, because it's just like, how we know y'all gonna tell us the truth in the first place? A representative from China said that they have COVID under control, and they argue that the commentary in international media regarding their virus policies are double standards. So, Mr. Sands, the president of the BHTA, said that obviously the health of citizens and tourists is of paramount importance to the Bahamas, but there's also paramount importance of sustaining the economy that is continuing to rebound robustly. Therefore, I think decisions will be made that encompass all of those considerations. And he also pointed out that there are buffers that protect the Bahamas from COVID. He also said that there are no direct flights between the two countries, which means individuals coming from China would have to stop in other countries that have testing protocols. Okay. Oh, and also I read somewhere that the government does not plan to impose any restrictions particular to China. I don't really believe the whole, oh, COVID is not coming back, because COVID is obviously a very deadly disease. And anyway, yes, nurses and doctors are in the country are complaining that, COVID is coming back around. And I don't want to say that, I don't think that we should try to downplay it, seeing that so many people died from COVID during the pandemic, which is 2020 to 2022. So I think it's kind of unfair to underplay that, oh, the pandemic won't happen again, because you cannot guarantee that at all. And as we can see, COVID is very aggressive. They have very experienced. A lot of them are more aggressive than the one previous to it. So it's just like, that's kind of a very bold statement to make, in my opinion. And then Mr. Sands also said that the health of the Bahamians is important, but so is the economy. And I agree. However, I would like to argue that life is more important, because without people, I mean, it would be no economy, you know what I'm saying? So I feel as though we've been saying that we want to move away from tourism, not completely, but looking for other, we're gonna look for other industries, and we want to invest in those industries or whatever. So yes, tourism right now is important, but ultimately I feel like we should still be looking into other industries to bring them up to the same level as tourism. So if in the event later on down the line something like this was to happen again, that we would still be secure with another industry. But to me, it seems like the government is going back to the same old, and putting all their eggs in one basket and relying solely on tourism again. And I don't think that is necessarily the right move. Like, we have been shown time and time again why we should have other industries that is up there with tourism, why we should put more money into agriculture, why we should put more money into fishing, all these things, right? But we still, when the way is clear, when the smoke cleared, we still run back to tourism, and the same thing happens over and over and over and over again. So I feel like, yes, it's important, but I don't think we should be je jeopardizing people's lives for the sake of tourism. And then the last point where I wanted to touch on was that he was saying that there are no direct flights from the Bahamas to Canada, to China, and so on. Although that may be so, if a certain country only allows you, I guess, 48 hours, and let's say you go to this country and you're there for a few days, and then you come to the Bahamas, there is a possibility that you could pick up COVID and you could bring it here unknowingly. You know what I'm saying? So it's just like, we can't act like there aren't loopholes. We can't act like there aren't things that could be avoided. I don't say could be avoided, but it's like, come on, like, just because there aren't direct flights and you would have the other places have COVID protocols, doesn't mean that people can't carry COVID. Because some places you don't have to get tested. If you're vaccinated, you're okay and you could travel. So if you're vaccinated, that doesn't mean that you can't get COVID. You could get COVID, yes, you would have less symptoms or whatever, and that may very well be dangerous, because they may not even realize that they're sick, and then they bring that on to other people. You know what I'm saying? And it starts the whole thing over again. Well, but it's still a threat. So that might.
I totally agree with everything that you were saying. I think the viewpoint of the entire situation as it relates to tourism is very simplistic. I think they try to oversimplify it, is what I'm trying to say. And like you said, even as now we're seeing that cases are rising within China, and we know just how contagious and rampant the COVID-19 virus spreads. I just really believe that we should be taking as much precautions as possible, because just because it's not here or we don't have direct flights doesn't mean that within the blink of an eye, a case can be here and then it can be widespread again, and then we go back to the pandemic protocols or whatever the case may be. And I personally, I do not want to see that happening. I don't it, it even it's something to fear, honestly, because you would think that the government would make that mistake again. They tried to blame it on the former government, saying that they took a lackadaisical approach towards the situation, and that's why we end up in the same predicament. I mean, in the predicament. But however, we see that this new government is doing the same thing. So I think a lot of people are just oversimplifying it when they're looking at it from just a one-on point of view. Hey, we need to get our economy back up and running. However, slow and steady always wins the race. At the end of the day, we don't need to rush into it. But we need to take our time to ensure that we don't go into another recession. It's better for us to take our time and do things right the first time than to have to feel the sting of the same old whip a second time. And that's just my 5 cents.
Another one of the things we talked about last year, we were talking about on one of our episodes, on probably multiple of them, actually, we talked about energy and the environment. And we also talked about carbon credits and our opinions on how we feel like it's a cop out for other countries and just a way for our country to make money, but it's still kind of just hurting the environment anyway. So, and also we talked about BPL wanting to be, I think, 30%, using 30% renewable energy in a few years. So, in an attempt to make to be more environmentally responsible, the government is trying to use clean and greener fuel, and they are committed to reducing carbon emissions. So, a lot of BPL plants were put in the middle of the island, and they would have like one feeder going north and one going south because the communities developed like along the coast. There was a lot of cooler weather, so that's why we would have, if it rained a little bit, there would a thunder little bit like boom, light gone off, and we've all experienced this. So this place, essential institutions, hospitals, shelters, made them horrible, right? So BPL CPO Siobhan Cambridge said that they decided to implement self-sustainable independent microgrids to these issues, and this is obtained through renewable infrastructure. So the new system would provide emergency power so that fuel isn't required to be brought into the island. So I feel like this is a step in the right direction. And but I think more can be done to incentivize the use of renewable energy. By no means am I the most perfect person when it comes to trying to do what's environmentally right. However, I feel like more education is needed around the topic and more access to items that are recycled or just different programs implementing a global wide recycling. Not, it wouldn't be global, a nationwide recycling thing where you have to separate your trash and stuff like that. Like, I don't know if you guys have ever seen like stores where you could go and get your own like soap and stuff, but you're not using like single use plastic containers. You take your own glass or you purchase a glass or whatever container you want to use at the shop. And you could like fill it up and it'll be like cents an ounce or 30 cents an ounce or whatever. So you're not using like so much plastic, you're reducing your waste. The same way how, I don't know if this is already a thing. I don't think it is. For instance, how we have hybrid cars, I think are like 10% to bring them in. Classical cars are also at reduced, I believe. So if you want to encourage people to use renewable sources of energy, why not incentivize solar panel and relative equipment so that more people could make their homes solar panel like, so it has sun instead of paying BPL, which as a result they use fossil fuels, which is harmful to the environment, right? So this would be a logical solution in my opinion. I feel as though we like the idea of being a clean country or being environmentally conscious. But I or using just renewable energy. But I feel like the country itself or the government doesn't want to commit to the idea 100%. And I feel like if you want to do something like this, you kind of have to go all in. And I feel like we took drastic measures in terms of banning single-use plastics, right? Banning cars that are 10 years or older because we wanted to so-called help the environment, right? So why don't we take other measures to do these things that would possibly, I wouldn't say hurt the government, but it's taking money out of their pocket for lack of, for basically that's what it's doing. It's taking money out of their pocket. Why aren't we also doing those things? You know what I'm saying? Why is the burden falling, I feel, solely on the consumer or the citizen themselves? Like, you know, I don't know if that makes sense. Does that make sense?
It does, and I'm just sitting here just being educated because, like you said, more education is needed on the topic, and I really appreciated the knowledge that you shared just now. However, I do agree with what you're saying, that we are taking the steps in the right direction, but we need to do it across the board. And yes, one step at a time, some people might say, but however, within the position that the government is in, they have the power and tools to actually do it if they want to do it. I just think right now we're kind of dragging our feet on the matter, where we can really do an overturn in order to make our country more green.
Definitely, definitely. So another thing I wanted to talk about is road work, because I don't know if you guys saw Village Road has been under construction for a very long time now. I think it was supposed to be finished in December, but the date keep getting moved back. And I don't know if you've been on Village Road today, but Village Road is dug up, big holes in the road them, just a disaster, right? So I think,
People can drive.
is literally a disaster, and only one side of the road open. So you have people coming down and coming up on the same side of the road, right? So basically what had happened was a person ended up driving into the trench, into a trench, right? And I was reading the report about what the what the engineer for the Ministry of Work said, and he was basically saying that basically he was trying to blame driver, right? Now, I don't know if they'd be there 24/7, which I highly doubt, but he's basically saying that they do everything they can to make sure that the road is operated safely and by using cones, people to direct traffic, people to direct the traffic, and was something else that he said. And he's basically saying that when people ignore those things, that's when they get into accidents and so on and so forth. Now, I understand to an extent, because you genuinely have people who do not follow instructions. That's just any way you go. Just so some people operate. That's how some people are. They just defiant, right? But every time I drive on a road, I was like, I know in the night, people, if you don't know this road and you come speeding on this road, or not even speeding, because the area they have is not really that wide for you to drive on. So if you just miss and not see something, you could very well end up in a trench. Okay? Very well end up in a trench. So I was just like, I thought that was a bit far, I don't want to say far-fetched. I know they're doing everything that they can to make sure that people don't hurt themselves, right? But it's just like, you can't deny that it's not hard to get in an accident on a road. Like, you cannot deny that. First of all, the road all bumpy, all these hole in the road, cones everywhere, no proper marks. Like, oh, he said they had signs, is what he said. But I'm like, it's still very difficult, because the times that I've driven on that road, they're not there 24/7. Like, there's not there someone there 24/7. So how can you ensure, how could you positively say 100% of the time that what you're doing is effective, especially at night when visibility isn't the best? I don't know if I overthinking that, but I feel like that wasn't. And I feel like he was just saying it to, cover his hip, but it's just like, you can very well easily crash on the road. Yeah, you have 100 cones, but by the time you probably see the cone, it's too late,
I
right?
don't think you're over-exaggerating. However, I know when I travel, I tend not to travel on it during the night because that's just a recipe for disaster. But when I do travel on that road, I do see men there who are directing whether you need to come, stop, wait, or whatever the case may be. Yes, you do have cones and signage there. He is correct with that. However, I do believe that that road just simply needs to be blocked for now, like how they used to do it. Yes, it used to be inconvenience and all the rest of the sort, but look what happened. And if it's just for time being, because I believe that they could get more work done if it's blocked off. A lot of the times, like, they have to wait or be mindful of persons coming and going, and so that slows them the process down even more. But I believe if they just block it off for a couple of days, get what they need to get done, and it's going to open back up, and you have a lesser chance of an accident of that kind. Because, like you said, those aren't just little holes and stuff they have in that road. Those are actual trenches. And you go at the wrong speed or see something too late or try to swerve to avoid something and end up in something else, you end up in the situation that you're in. And so I definitely do believe that this, it's of my opinion that that road needs to be blocked off. And I know it's going to be hard because there's a school there, whatever the case may be. But I do believe that they can find some way to maneuver against around it, because I even think they have corners where they say diverted traffic, but persons still try to drive through or whatever. And it's just, I just think that it needs to be cut off. At least finish the front part first, and then even if you have to move and ask school to close for at least a day or whatever, because we need to finish that part by the school. Because even by the school, I don't understand how those children, those parents are getting in to take their children into that school. Because the last time I was there a couple times to go to the Reach office, it was just a mess. So it's, I don't understand how effective learning can be taken. I mean, the school is kind of considerably far from the road, but just even that is a hazard in and of itself. So I don't know.
And but Selena, originally this started in summer, when school and stuff was closed. So what I don't understand is why is it being denied, not denied, delayed so much? Like, I'm not saying that there isn't a reason, but I just want to know, like, it delayed you that much? September, right? And then they revised it, and then they moved it to November, and now it's January, almost 6 months later, and the road is still incomplete. And as a result of the road being incomplete, because, like you said, the road is a disaster, it's hard to get into anything on that road. Businesses on that road have said that they lost about 30 to 40% as a result of these roadworks. And they're asking the government to provide economic relief. And I would agree, because it's just like, I don't understand why it's taking almost 6 months to fix the road. And they said that they have submitted a proposal to the government for an economic stimulus package to help offset their losses. And yeah, to offset their losses. So they said December 9th, they submitted a letter to the Minister of Works, which is Alfred Sayers, and the president of Four Walled Squash and Social Club, said that the businesses were notified of the village road improvement, and they plan to prioritize the government, sorry, plan to prioritize the overdue infrastructure upgrades. So Field said that they understood the importance of this project and prepared their businesses for a reasonable level of distribution. After all, they would be the beneficiaries of the improvements. However, with the extensive delays and interruptions, now in the 10th month, we write on behalf of several concerned business owners to request favorable consideration of economic stimulus package designed to ensure that our businesses in the area are able to rebound in the new year once the work is complete. So 10 months, he said it's been about 10 months. You can imagine 10 months not being able to operate your business at full capacity. I can't imagine the hurting that must have put on them, and I'm surprised some of them haven't tried to relocate. And so, do you think it's unreasonable for the government to offer relief packages to them?
No, I don't think it's unreasonable. I do think it is reasonable. Now, what amount are they asking for or whatever, that's a whole different conversation. But I do believe that it is reasonable because at the end of the day, they have a legitimate concern. They have a legitimate request. So, yeah.
But yeah, I think that that they sh what they're asking for should be considered, and I feel as though there should be someone over. I feel like they would have to present, obviously, data over the last what they made probably the previous 2 years, so that the government can decide, okay, what was the median income for each month, or the median profit, whatever, and say, okay, whatever the average is for each month, we'll give that to you, or we'll give you 50%, or whatever they lost. They said 30 to 40%. We'll give you 30% of that to help subsidize what happened, because this wasn't supposed to take this long. And I feel like 10 months is absolutely ridiculous. Now, I don't know why it took that long. Maybe I don't know. Maybe I don't know the ground, but they trying to put in the ground. And I don't know, in cooperating the weather, whatever it is, for whatever reason. At the end of the day, it still is not these businesses' fault that it just took this long, and that they were cut out of a certain percentage of money for this long. They are prepared for loss for a certain period, the period that they were informed about, but they didn't expect it to go over that, who died, you know what I'm saying? So the last thing I wanted to talk about is a protest, use of our rights as citizens that happened in a Lutheran. So is this, yeah, a Lutheran, that's right? Yeah, a Lutheran. So the teachers and parents at Preston Aubrey High School had protested over a large number of concerns, such as teacher shortage and lack of support dealing with insubordinate students. So, acting director of education, Dominique McCartney Russell, indicated that there has been some disruption of classes because the teachers who are outside. And she said that they asked the district superintendent to ensure that those children who were disrupted as a result of teachers protesting would participate in their virtual platform. So the BUT president, Belinda Wilson, said that the union is in full support of the protest. And she said that for 7 months now, teachers have been complaining about a shortage, violence on school campuses, disrespect by students towards the teachers, and the overall safety on campus. And she said that those matters have not been satisfactorily addressed, and they've been brought to the attention of the administration, the superintendent, acting director, and others. And meetings were held last year, but once again, matters have not been addressed. It is said that two teachers have been identified to come to the school. However, the further investigation revealed that the teachers do not have anywhere to live, and the government has not yet got accommodations for them. So they have been advised not to leave the comforts of their home to travel to Eleuthera for uncertainty. And they were home waiting to be hired from 2022, and some of them from 2021. Education must address these concerns. So I truly don't understand this. These situations always have me kind of baffled because it's just like I know so many people who went to school to become teachers. Like, I don't understand why it's so hard to give teachers the necessary things that they need and to get them placed. If people are willing to move to Eleuthera, and they have two people who are willing to move, but they have nowhere for them to stay. How is that so? I don't understand what's going on. We allocate money to all type of things, right? All type of, I don't want to say unnecessary things, but things that could wait, right? But the education of our people is a must. These people need to be placed, and I think I saw a couple of weeks ago, I even saw a where they did an interview. I believe it was on Eyewitness, and they were talking about, like, it was like two or three teachers. I don't know if that's the same island. I can't remember if it was the same island, but there's like they need two or three teachers working, two or three teachers working teach all these children, all these different grades, and 12 different subjects. So basically, the children only go to school to learn three subjects, and that's it. So I truly don't understand what's the hold up. I truly don't think maybe there is a shortage of teachers. I don't think there is. I just think there is no urgency in getting people in places that make sense. And I feel like we don't listen to teachers, and we don't back them up as far as administration and the government overall goes. So some of them I think leave because they don't think it's worth it anymore. Because like they said, not only are they understaffed, but they said they're concerned for their safety. Nobody wants to work in an environment that's hostile, where children are, I don't know if they're being threatened or, but obviously they're afraid. So the children are doing something to make them uncomfortable, and nothing is being done. That's absolutely unacceptable.
Me?
Go ahead.
I know, especially there's a such not even a shortage. Like you said, it's not a shortage. I know of persons who graduated with me in the area that I teach, and it's one of those areas that is in high demand. And they were told essentially that they can't afford to hire them right now because there's no, not enough in the budget to hire them. And I was baffled because I'm like, what do you mean there's not enough money? Yet you see, time after time, the news is reporting that there's schools who are in dire need of teachers, and you have teachers, like you said, from Preston persons from 2020, 2021, 2022 who are waiting to be hired. However, they're just getting run around. Oh, you know, this is not in place. That is not in place. This and that, this and that. That time, these persons have put in these things multiple times. And so I think we really need, I say this all the time, but we really need to take a microscope class. And we really need to inspect our country, and a lot of these situations, a lot of the things stem back to education. Our people lack education. They lack a vision. And I do believe that we push too much into politics and too much into tourism. And we don't do enough when it comes to education. And mind you, we have some programs that launched off, you know, and when I learn of these programs, I'm like, what happened? And when you find out, it's because, you know, certain programs came under certain governments. And then when a new government came into place, you know, it's a common practice from the Bahamas when it comes into place to wipe out everything the former government did, even when it comes to the workers. It's ridiculous, especially when it comes to education, because that should not take place. We have programs on book. We have resources. We have things that we just need to implement them. And I'm just trying to figure out, why aren't these things being implemented? Why is it that there's no money in the budget to hire new teachers? Why is it that you're saying this about Bahamian teachers, but then you bring in a truckload of foreign teachers? And you have to accommodate them. You have to pay rent. You have to do this and stuff. In fact, for the new teachers in orientation, they had a specific thing welcoming for them. They sat in the front. They knew exactly where they were going, yet Bahamian teachers who were coming in didn't even know where they were going. I really do believe that our whole education system needs an entire revamping. And yeah, I think that people who are in charge need to sit down and listen, because a lot of them who claim they have the qualifications or whatever the case may be, and they put in these different policies into place, whatever, it's so far-fetched from what is on the ground level. I don't think you even wonder if they really were in education. It's so far-fetched, it's so out of touch, it's so unrealistic. And I just, it's so sad. It's really sad. And then you have persons who are coming in, they become burnt out because now they're thrown into this place where now they have to accommodate more than what they were prepared to accommodate. And, you know, people just basically say within the thing, I'm welcome to education. It's been like this for years. Either you sink or you swim. And I just like, that is so sad. And then you wonder why you have burnt out teachers who then become, you know, grumpy and miserable and this and that. And it's just so much. It's just like a continuous cycle of just unproductiveness. And I just think that we really need to start having conversations, real conversations about what is actually happening, not just, you know, sugarcoating things or trying to be politically correct or, you know, this, that, and whatever the case may be. We really need to call these persons out and be like, what is really going on? What is really going on? Because the more complacent you become, the more, just roll with it. It is what it is. The worse our country gets. Because at the end of the day, it is the future. If you don't educate the youth, if you don't give them the proper training or whatever the case may be, who do you think then take over? We need to get it in together. We need to stop pumping things so heavily into tourism and appeasing the foreigners because they got to come back and do this and do that. We need to start looking within. We have so many programs in place that I think needs more focus needs to be placed on them. The STEM programs, you know, getting our children ready. Even I even think that we put too much on academics per se, because education doesn't only talk towards academics. We have persons who are not academically inclined, but they're incredibly gifted. And I think we need to have more programs that partner like with schools such as BTVI, where, you know, they learn a trade. Instead of them, you know, have basic English language, whatever, but all those other, you know, subjects and math, they don't need those other subjects. Have them in English language. I would say even erect actual trade schools and after grade six, like I know, I think it's Jamaica who does it. You know, they sit an exam in grade six, and if you get a certain grade on that thing, you know, you go trade school. Others go to and those who score average or higher, they go to academic, more academic inclined schools. I think that needs to take place because you realize as an educator, not everybody is the same, and you cannot be beating me with the same stick you beat an academically inclined student, because automatically I'm just going to stop caring. I'm going to drop out. And if I drop out, then what? I'm not taught how to get on with life. So obviously I join. Most likely I would join a gang or whatever the case may be. And then, you know, the same persons who you were barking at, they become a menace to society. It's a continuous cycle. And I'm not trying to oversimplify the situation, but I do think that education is at the center of it all. Education is at the center of it all. So, yeah.
I definitely agree with you. I think we need to take a closer look at, like you said, we need to take a closer look at our structure of our curriculum and try to get something that makes, I don't want to say it doesn't make sense, but it could be better, I think. And we need to take a look at these teachers, man. Like, I don't understand why we can't do simple things to make their life easier. I don't understand why we can't get them placed. I don't understand why we have schools in 2023. Why we have schools with only 200 teachers. Why teachers do not feel safe within the school system. These are problems. I don't understand why they exist. It's just frustrating. I feel like education doesn't get enough attention. I feel like sometimes it's put to the back burner. So, yeah, I think this is something we need to look more closely at. That's just my two cents. I think we had a great conversation, Selena. Thank you guys for tuning in to another episode of Candid, where we have real talks with real people. Once again, Happy New Year and keep it real, Bahamas. Oh, follow us on Facebook and Instagram at Candid242.